Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your church, Lord. Pray, Lord, you'd help me tonight, Lord, to some way to feed your sheep, Lord. To cover this subject about what we put in our mind, Lord. What we're supposed to dwell upon, to think upon, Lord. So, Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit would give help, Lord, that you would convict and convince people who need to be rebuked, people like myself who need to learn and to be more obedient in this area. Lord, help us. And may you get glory for all this, Lord. May your name be lifted up in this place, Lord. And thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, let's see if we got the... Yep, there it is. Okay. So, we're going to be talking about what we put in our mind. The importance of what we put in our mind. The importance of what we dwell on. And so, it's going to be somewhat interactive. So, Mike, guy. Y'all should figure it out. Okay. Just stand ready. I'll get you. Okay. So I got a question for you. We have so many things. Our minds are being bombarded with information all the time, every place. Sometimes more than one source, two sources, three sources, four sources. And Paul tells us to dwell on these things, that we're supposed to guard our mind. And it's so important. When we sing songs up here, we have words that have been, songs that have been carefully chosen to be exposed to here, that we would use to sing and worship. And sometimes we even change some of the songs because it don't quite agree with what we think Scripture teaches on it. And I wonder if we're that careful with a song up here, how careful we are with what goes into our mind and our kids' minds and what we think about, what we dwell on, and how much we dwell on it, how much of it is frivolous and how much of it is toward God and honoring God. So just kind of the exercise, I want to ask you if you can name the many different sources that we have that we get our information from, that we're bombarded with. So just raise your hand, and Jimmy's going to come to you. And so give as many as you can think of, and then we'll get to another one. Okay, we got Linda in front of you.
The news and social media.
All right.
Information from all kinds of stuff like cell phones, the television set, the radio, the internet. And, well, I guess maybe the police still have walkie-talkies. I don't know about that. But there, I mean, there's information flying around 24/7, 365. And 366 coming up, we're coming up on a leap year. Yep. So we need to have our eyes on things above.
You got another one back here?
even the people we interact with every day.
Brethren,
the direct perception of our senses and intuition, maybe.
We've still got about 25 to go or so that I wrote down.
The books that we choose to read.
Those.
Magazines might be in the same category as books, I don't know, but magazines and podcasts.
Very popular. Magazines, probably the electronic ones are still popular. Okay. Ryan?
As a kid, we still have school. That's
school.
A big one.
Yeah, well, that's right. Schools, universities, what else? Oh.
Ads like on billboards and I have one more, but I forgot it.
Yeah, so ads on billboards and comes on your phones and we're just bombarded with ads. Okay, what else? The birthday boy, Sammy. All right, some of y'all are supposed to be young enough you know some of this social media stuff. And I'm the only one that knows what TikTok is?
Address in general.
But I'm giving it specific. Yeah. That'd be all right. So what social media? We got tons of it. And by the way, that's a big portion of what we bombarded with, aren't we? Anybody ever heard of something called YouTube? All you handymen? You get commercials whenever you're on that? Documentaries. What else? We still got a few that we're missing. Anybody remember something called Facebook? Does anybody know what X is? Nope. It used to be called Twitter. Okay. What else? Computers, iPads, tablets. Yeah. So what are the many sources of stimuli that enter our minds, the sources for them?
Did anyone mention video games?
Nope. That's a big one.
Our own misinformed feelings.
Okay. How about movies? No, most people don't go to them anymore, but some people do. So we got movies. Indoctrination centers, better known as universities, higher education, right? All kinds of bombarded with that. Conferences. Again, it was mentioned, our bosses, our cohorts, brethren in this church and other churches, we're constantly, how about preaching, sermons? And some of that may be good and some of that may be bad, but we're constantly being bombarded by it. And so how do we determine what we should listen to, what we should dwell, what we should let come into our mind. You know, a lot of times we have things coming into our mind that if we're not paying attention, we'll kind of go into a daydream and we'll just get it, and not even know, not being able to realize we need to reject some of it, right? Our mind is not being active, it's being passive. So the next question is this. Is what we think, what we allow into our mind, is it important for us in our Christian walk? Anybody want to answer how important they think it is? Is it sort of important, might be important, very important? Just your opinion. Or you can give me scripture and tell me a passage if you want.
I think it's important because it can affect how you handle different situations, like trials and things. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're meditating on really is what's going to, that's what's going to come forth when you're trying to figure out how to handle certain things.
Okay. How about if you're at work and you're being bombarded with all kinds of bad things that we run into sometimes out there in the world that we really don't want to be exposed, but we're kind of caught. What do you do with that, Jimmy?
Can you be more specific?
If you're at work, people are cussing around you and at you or telling dirty jokes and you walk up, all those different things that we run into, or at least I used to, now not so much. How do you handle that? What's the best way to handle that?
I mean, personally speaking, it's so commonplace, right? That it's just always a reminder of God's grace, of who I used to be before He saved me and changed me. It's oftentimes a reminder to pray. It's oftentimes a source of desire to share as I can, a reminder when the Lord allows at the appropriate time. And it's also a good time just to be silent sometimes and be different. Be the one that's not interacting in all of that. So, and very much a reminder that our minds must be set on the things above and not things here.
Right. So is your mind actively involved when you're in situations like that? I think what you're saying is yes. Rejecting the bad. That was for you, Jimmy. Sorry. Okay. All right. So, if it's important, the Bible has everything we need. What would be some verses or passages we go to about the importance of thinking rightly or what you put in your mind? We've got the microphone for you.
I just said the passage that...
Sorry. What else? Come on, you know this. 12 what? Yep, 12:2. 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern that is what is the will of God and what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will. So, yeah, the Bible tells us to renew our mind. What do you think it wants us to renew our mind with? That's what we're talking about, what we're going to put in our mind. So when you read that verse, what do you think he means to renew your mind? Interactive tonight, guys. See if I can get y'all to talk. Anybody? What are we renewing our mind with? What do you think the Lord wants us to renew our mind with? What can we renew our mind with? Go ahead.
I think of the Proverbs, all over the Proverbs, but starting in chapter 1, to know wisdom and instructions, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction from people who seek to do violence.
So, Proverbs on wisdom. What else? Darrell?
Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
That's a good one. We're going to talk about that a little bit more here. We've still got a couple more passages. So we got Proverbs, we got Philippians, we got Romans. Somebody mentioned it earlier. Go ahead.
I don't have the exact reference, but James and life and death are in the power of the tongue. Mm-hmm. And it's just what our minds choose to dwell on.
Okay.
Maybe this one, Psalms 101, verse 2 through 4, says, I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil.
Okay. About something in Colossians. Somebody mentioned it earlier. Chapter 3. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are earth. And then it gives us more. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexually immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then he goes down to 9, and we'll skip over 9. It says, do not lie to one another, seeing what you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, there's the mind, and the image of his creator. Then 3:15 it says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That would renew your mind. The what I was looking for was the word of God. It's what would renew our minds. What we need to put in our minds. So let the singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, there's something else for input to our minds, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There's one in Ephesians. Anybody know which one? Ephesians 4:23. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So that's some of the passages. There's tons of passages about the importance of what we put in our mind and telling us to do so, giving us examples. So let's go to our text. Get it in my Bible here. I missed the verse I didn't copied. So we're going to start at Philippians 4:6. So Philippians 4:6. First of all, we know that this is a letter that is being written to the church in Philippi, that it's being written from Paul being in prison in Rome when he wrote this letter. So we start in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute or a good reputation, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these. Fix your mind on these. This word dwell here has the meaning of, you can think of it as an engineer who has something that he's tearing it apart. He's focused on it. He takes and tears it apart to see how it works and then puts it back together. We're meditating on it. We're focusing on it. We're trying to see how it works. We have all our attention on this thing that we're dwelling on. And so these things that we take into our mind, we're meditating on them, we're chewing them, we're looking at them, we're thinking about them. So that's the idea of fixing your minds, fixing your mind on this thing that you've chosen to put into your mind. So it's giving all kinds of focus to it. It's another way is saying it's like you're taking and making careful calculations about what you're looking at, what you're thinking at. So it's a very intense focus in thinking about it. And the verb in it, this verb that it is a present tense verb, means it's ongoing. And it's a command type form. So it means to continue to dwell on it. So this is not something we do once, but we continue to do it. So dwell on or think on these things, and we'll talk about these things in a minute, a commanding us to dwell on these things. Dwell, again, is careful calculations or a study. To carefully reckon something. Verb in present tense. So what are these things? He gives us eight things. They're like eight categories. They're big, wide areas that we're going to look at. And so he's showing us the categories by which we're to decide what will or will not come into our mind, or if it comes into our mind, where we reject it or keep it. So the first one he talks about is whatever is true, whatever is real, whatever is genuine, whatever is authentic, whatever can be relied on. Do not dwell on the deceptions, the lies, the distortions, the compromises to the gospel, the compromises to the Word of God. And those things that don't meet the divine standard, we're to dwell on what's true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that has the Son has eternal life. He has the truth, and the truth will set you free. Second one, whatever is honorable, worthy of respect, noble, dignified, revered, majestic. Not the dishonorable things, not the base things, not the trivial things, but whatever is honorable and worthy. Think on these things. So what are you putting in your mind? What are you thinking? Does it meet these categories that we're looking at? If it is, that's what you want to dwell on. If it don't, it shouldn't be in there. Three is whatever is just, which conforms to God's standard of righteousness. It's in harmony with God's holy character. Whatever is proper, law-abiding, it should not contradict the Bible. Right thoughts produce right living. So, whatever is righteous, just, lawful, that would be what you think about. We could be watching a G-rated movie, and it could be totally teaching against God's work. We see it all the time. So it's not the G rating that's the problem. It's the problem is, what are you putting in your mind? What are you concentrating on? What are you meditating on? What are you dwelling on? The next one is pure. Whatever is pure. Moral purity, holy, wholesome, not mixed with anything, not impure, not filth, not that which is flawless. Dwell on whatever is pure. The next one is, what is holy? Whatever is holy. Lovely. So pleasing. Pleasing to the Lord, attractive, the beauty of holiness, generous, pleasing and attractive to the Lord. I was thinking about the day, about whenever we would consider things that we should do or decisions that we should make, we normally think, well, or at least we should, well, is this honoring to the Lord? Does this bring glory to the Lord? Well, we're doing the same thing here, except the categories are much wider. So whatever is commendable, well spoken of by God, reputable, respectable. The opposite being not respectable, not commendable, not reputable. And then he says, if there's any excellence, in other words, high thoughts of God, high moral standards, and pleasing to God would be a form of excellence. If there's any excellence, we think on these. If there's anything worthy of praise, that which can be applauded in the presence of God, if it is not worthy of praise, then that should be a red light to us, not to put it in our mind. So do you put everything in your mind that's praiseworthy? Is that one of your criteria? Or do they meet one of these eight criteria when you put it in your mind? Questions we have to ask ourselves. These eight items are broad categories by which we can use to evaluate whether we should think on this thing. What are you putting in your mind? What are you thinking about? You might think of these eight things as guardrails for our mind, that we don't go into the ditch, that we don't do something that's harmful to us, that disqualifies us as far as what we're doing, that it would reflect bad on the Lord. So if the thing is qualified by any of these eight categories, then we have a green light. We can think on this thing. If not, we should reject it completely and quickly. So what do we do with these eight things? Look at verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Who said that? Paul, right? It's a pretty bold statement. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things. So imitate Paul as he imitates Christ, as he follows Christ. Now, this was for the people in Philippi, right? But would that apply to us today? Could that indicate that we should follow, imitate someone here in this church? Well, if they're follow Christ, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. We don't follow him if he weren't following Christ. But we know in his case he was. So that was what he was telling the people, to imitate him. And to practice these things, to do these things. And what are these things he was talking about doing? He was taking these categories and using those to decide what's going to go into his mind. So if we put these things into practice by emulating Paul, by practicing these things, we have learned from Paul, right, for them. We have received from Paul, and we have heard and we have seen in Paul, what we are to emulate. The result will be peace and joy. The God of peace with you will give you his peace. When we have right thinking, when we're putting the right things in our mind, when we have our focus on things above, then we're going to have peace with God. Now, people that are anxious, I don't know if you've ever been anxious before or worried about something, but I have. And whenever I am, it's like just spinning around on mine. I can't think of nothing else. I'm thinking about that thing, those circumstances. What am I going to do? All those things. But the thing is, I'm really not thinking. I'm really not putting my mind on what the solution really is, to realize that I am above these circumstances, that the Bible tells me not to worry, but to go to the Lord, everything in prayer and supplication, right? That's my first thing I need to learn. But whenever I have my minds on Christ and on the heavenly places and on the Word of God, I won't be so focused on the circumstances. It gives me peace. That's what it's saying here. We have peace with God. Now, how critical is this? Are you thinking that I'm saying that you need to be thinking about the Bible all the time? You got to have it on your mind? Or something that's pure or something that's better than G? Notice it's big categories. He don't give a list. There's no list here. You see that? No list. But there are eight categories. Hey. And so it's to help us decide what we need to be thinking about. And these eight things that we talk about, these qualities, they're embodied in the one that we know already we should be looking at, Christ. Look at Christ. Put your eyes on Christ. Think about Christ, the Word of God, the person of Christ. And you'll have that peace that passeth all understanding. But it's something we have to be intentional about. I have to be intentional. I have to pray. I have to ask the Lord for help. And we're to be discerning. Again, we have multitudes of stuff bombarding us all the time. And we're going to have to be able to say no. But we have this category. We have the Holy Spirit, right? It tells us we should say no. We get something in us that says, no, that's not right. But what about that stuff that's kind of on the edge? What about that stuff it's not bad. It might even be good, but it's not the best. Do you ever give up the best so you can get the good? It's not a good trade. So we actually should think about what we're thinking about. I know it sounds redundant, but we should think about what we're going to think about. And we should use the Bible's categories to determine which ones they are. There's an old saying that you are what you eat. So I guess I'm a taco. I'm not sure what you are. There's another one that says you are what you think. And I'm not sure whether that's right or not. But how we think and what we think about really does determine where our affections are going to go. So if we're not thinking about Christ, we're not thinking about the body, we're not thinking about people in this church, we're not thinking about people who are lost, and we're thinking about something totally different, say physical things or temporary things, then we're going to lose our effectiveness. We're not going to be able to walk as we should. We're not going to be, at best, we're not going to mature because we're thinking about the wrong thing. And if we're thinking about the wrong thing all the time, how much worse is that? So we need to be careful about what we put in our mind. So how can we do that? How can we work on this problem? What can we do? Well, the text tells us, right? Think on these things, right? Be careful what comes into your mind. And that's a lot harder than it thinks. I was at the restaurant today, and I was just walking out of the restaurant, and the people over here were talking about this, and there was one part of the conversation over there. I look at the TV, and it's got some Western on it, and I'm seeing that there, and Araya is talking to me and saying things to me, and I'm just thinking, three things, four things. We're just bombarded. So take time to think about what you're thinking about. Think about how important it is. I know a missionary that told me one time, he said whenever he started just feeling dry in his spiritual walk, he would just take and memorize scripture, and then he would dwell on that scripture. And it might be something, a chapter or something he had already memorized. But he said he'd do that. And it wasn't so much, I think, the particular passage or whatever, but it was he had the Word of God, and he was concentrating on that. He was putting something good in his mind, and it was taking away whatever it was bad that he had been worrying about or had been bothering him. And so that's the other thing. We need to replace the good with the best. And like I said, that's probably, we see it with our kids sometimes, right? You see a kid and they don't have good parents. And you go by a place and they're watching TV and they're watching SpongeBob, baggy pants, I don't even know what you call it and stuff. But, you know, there's all kind of crazy, terrible things going on that they're saying. They're pretty rude, right? And so the little kids are sitting there taking it in. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours. We don't do that, do we? Do we have things that we concentrate on that are bad for us? Well, I think so, or he wouldn't tell us what the good things were. He wouldn't give us these categories. If everything's okay, and you're such a strong Christian that you can handle all this, they wouldn't give us these categories. If it's just you being a Christian and being passive, and the Holy Spirit guards your mind, right? What we're seeing there, right? But he's talking about guarding your mind because you are doing these things. So it's not a passive thing with our mind. We need to be active. We need to think about what we're going to think about. So I think I would just leave you with Romans 12, 1 and 2 again, because I think it says it pretty good. If we would do this, we'd be in pretty good shape with our mind. So I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, it's God's mercy, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Are you presenting your body to the Lord as a sacrifice to Him, a living sacrifice? Are you living for Him? And then he tells us, do not be conformed to this world. How are you conformed to this world? By following the wrong examples, by putting the wrong things in your mind, by letting the world take control of you, by you spending all your time, money, and efforts in that area that you're dealing with. Don't do it. Do not be conformed to this world, but here's how you do it. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And by that, we're saying you renew your mind by what you put in it. And if you put Scripture in it, if you put the love of God and His people in it, if you put Jesus Christ and you're looking to our heavenly home, if you have that attitude, if you have that mindset, then you can renew your mind. Now, is that just me by my own efforts doing that? No, I'm coming to the Lord, asking Him, helping Him. It's something that's synergistic. We're active, but it's the grace of God that is happening, okay? So do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this firewood, as Jesse would say. to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern that is the will of God, what is the will of God, and what is good, acceptable, and perfect for Him. So think about what you're going to think about. And then practice. Practice what you have in there, what you've learned. Amen. Right. I'm going to pray. Before I pray, yeah. If we have any questions or any comment, I'll take them and then I'll pray. Yeah. Oh, nice.
That to correspond with what you were saying, that the main theme of Philippians is joy.
Right.
And rejoicing, and that it appears 16 times in the book of Philippians. And if we have that mindset, we are able to more easily be conformed to the image of Christ. We are able to put these into actions in verse 8 and 9. Mm-hmm. So anyway, just a little thought that came to mind.
Okay, good. More questions, comments? All right, I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for this reminder, Lord. I thank you that I needed it, and I still need it. And, Lord, I ask you to help me to really to be more careful about what I allow go into my mind, to be the thinking about what I'm thinking about, to think on those things that are good, that are holy, that adore you, that help your people, that loves your word. Lord, help us to think rightly, to think biblically, to be Christ-centered in our thinking. Help us to love. Help us to love your word, to love our brothers and sisters, to love the lost that come in and out of here. Lord, that you might save some. I would just ask you for help. We ask you, Lord, to help us to lift up Christ, to proclaim His gospel here, Lord. Lord, we need you. We need your Holy Spirit in this church. Lord, we know we have in the individuals, but Lord, we look to see you manifest yourself in great things like salvation, in the preaching of your word, in the service to each other, the love for each other. Lord, again, thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.